Now we have something very, very exciting to share with you again from God's Word today. The question again, what solution does God have, as presented in the Word of God, for man's condition? Again, as we always have before, we will read many, many verses from the Word of God. Let's begin with John's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is how God is able to offer a solution to man's sin, guilt, and eternal damnation. The first thing to understand is that God loves you, even though you and I are sinful and filled with wickedness. This is quite different from the teaching of Islam that Allah does not love the sinner. As a result of this love, God gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, as a substitute and a sacrifice for sin. How could this be true? In Africa, a son is extremely important to a father as his heir and as one to continue his name. But the oldest son is more important than, and the only son would be a treasured possession. Which one of us would sacrifice our only son to save those who hate us and have sworn to be our enemies? I have 5 children. 4 of them are my sons. Would I sacrifice one of them to save the life of my enemy? That would be a very difficult decision, and I do not think that I love my enemies enough to sacrifice my son, Jonathan, or Nathan, or Joel, or Matthew, for them. Or my daughter, Rachel, either. No, but God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son as a sacrifice for your sins and for mine. On Ekpoba Slope in Benin, where we used to live, there were men killed from time to time because of their crimes. If a man robbed me, said he hated me, and refused to say he was sorry, but was sentenced to be executed, would I tie my only son to the post to die instead? We have seen those posts at Krikri, soaked with blood, the blood of those who have disobeyed the law of the Federal Republic of Nigeria. My friend, I could not give my son to spill his blood on that post for someone else. But God did that for you and me 2,000 years ago. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 tells us this. For he has made him, God the Father has made Jesus, to be sin for us. Jesus, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, that is, in Jesus. When I was in Elmina Castle in 1989, there was a very, very small room where slaves were locked in solitary confinement, all alone, without food, without water, without air, until they died because of their sin of rebellion against their European masters. I am sorry to tell you this, but history is true. I asked when I was there that I be placed into that room and the door would be shut so that I would know as a European, as an Oibo, what it felt like to be in that place. No light, no air, nothing. In just a few hours, I would have been unconscious. In a few days, I would have been dead. Would I die for someone who had been there hundreds of years before? Or would I die for someone who might be there in the future? No. But Jesus took on himself the sins, the punishment for those sins, of all past, present, and future who will believe on him and accept him as their Savior. He was tortured and he was crushed for our sins and for our iniquities as a sacrifice. Turn with me, please, to Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 5. Listen, please, to the words of the prophet Isaiah. He, Jesus, was pierced for our transgressions. He, Jesus, was crushed for our iniquities. He was tormented. He was tortured. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. He, Jesus, did for the whole world what I could not do for one person. The only way I could free a slave is to become a slave in his place. Jesus took my place and died for me to set me free. Listen to the words of Hebrews chapter 10, beginning at verse 3. This shows how Jesus could be a perfect, sinless sacrifice for sin when so many other sacrifices had failed. Listen, those sacrifices are an annual reminder every year of sins, because it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not want, but you have prepared me a body." With burnt sacrifices and offerings for sin, you were not pleased. Then I, Jesus, said, "Here I am. I have come to do your will, O God." And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. My friend, I turn aside from Scripture for a moment to remind you. Can you think of Orisha? Can you think of Ekpo priests? Can you think of priests in various juju rites? Can you think of those who would stand between you and God in the religion of Islam, or even in the empty religion of a professing Christianity without Christ? But now, here our attention is drawn to Jesus, in contrast to those who again and again offer the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. Verse 12, "But when this priest, Jesus, had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Since that time he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool, because by one sacrifice he has made holy, he has made perfect forever those who are sanctified," set apart. Verse 18, "Where these sins have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin." Amen. Can anything be more clear than that? Jesus Christ became a sacrifice for sin. The Hebrews, the Jews, were God's chosen people. He had originally instructed them to make these sacrifices, but now God says, "I have made one supreme and final sacrifice, my Son. That is all that is necessary." Someone had to be punished for sin. God cannot ignore sin, just as a judge today must punish criminals. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2 says, "Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God." What of Shango? What of Eshu? What of Ogun? What of Mamiwata? Do offerings and sacrifices to these or others not help to remove sin and gain entrance to heaven? No. Only through the sacrifice of one who never sinned, Jesus Christ, can sin be removed. Let us think of two of the world's great religions, both of which are present in Africa. One is the Jewish religion. Just a few days ago, the Jews celebrated Yom Kippur, the great Day of Atonement, the most sacred day of the Jewish year. The observance begins at sunset and continues to the next sunset, 24 hours. Jews gather in places of worship for confession, repentance, and reconciliation with God and man. They fast and do not work during that 24-hour period. But, my friend, one thing is notably absent from that great day of atonement, and that is there is no shedding of blood. What was it that delivered the Jews from Egypt? Several thousand years ago, it was the shedding of the blood of a perfect, spotless lamb and the display of that blood on the door of the house. That saved them from judgment and delivered them from slavery and bondage. It tells us in the letter to the Jews in the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7 says, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleans us from all sin. Let us look at the second great religion of the Middle East and of Africa, Islam. Many times I have watched near the lighthouse in Accra, where the northerners gather to sell sheep and goats, particularly for the great sacrifice, the great shedding of blood on their feast day. But let me ask you a further question. Do you not remember what we read in Hebrews just a few minutes ago, that the blood of bulls and of goats can never take away sins, even though they are offered year after year after year after year, only through the sacrifice of a sinless, spotless human being can remission, forgiveness, removal, washing of sins be brought about? Isaiah chapter 53, verses 5 to 7 tell us, He, Jesus, was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised, crushed for our iniquities. The chastisement, the punishment for our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes, with His scourging, with His beating, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on Him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and He was afflicted, yet He opened not His mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so He does not open His mouth. This speaks about the Lord Jesus Christ before He was even born. This was written hundreds of years before the birth of Jesus Christ. Then we come to John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 29, when John the Baptist looks at Jesus and says, Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. This is a human witness to the fulfillment of that prophecy that we have just read in Isaiah chapter 53. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19 would tell us so clearly, For as much as you know that you were not redeemed, you were not bought back with corruptible things, things which rot and die and disappear and rust like silver and gold, from your vain conversation, your empty way of life, received by tradition from your fathers, the tradition of the elders, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. This tradition of the elders is very hard to set aside, isn't it? If this tradition involves juju or membership in a secret society like a boni, then it should be completely rejected, and God's word alone will supply the answers. This verse teaches us two things very clearly. First, that we cannot buy our salvation with money. I cannot dash my way into heaven. Secondly, it teaches us that the blood of Christ, and only the blood of Christ, gives us entrance into heaven. Do you remember what we said before from the Word of God? There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. John chapter 14, verse 6 would tell us the very words of Jesus Christ Himself as He gives the solution personally to man's problem of sin and the results of that sin. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. No amount of naira, sedis, or kwacha can pay for our salvation. Why? All the money in the world is not enough. And second, the blood of Jesus has already paid the price. The one who pays that price must himself be perfectly sinless. But we are all twisted and spotted and ruined and soiled and dirty with sin. Therefore, we cannot pay. The debt, the price, must be paid by someone perfect, Jesus, God's Son, God himself as a human being. Romans chapter 3, verses 22 to 25 say this: there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But listen well. But being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation. That is a big word that means a substitute. One who brings about atonement. One who brings forgiveness. One whom God can look at and say, I am satisfied. I do not have to punish that boy, that girl, because Jesus, my son, has borne the punishment instead. That is what propitiation is. Propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins. This verse brings before us two very important things: grace and faith. Grace means God wants to bless us and dash us peace and forgiveness. We don't have to pay for our peace. We do not have to pay for our forgiveness. He dashes us with those things. Happiness, a beautiful compound in heaven, no charge. That is grace. Faith means even though we say, I cannot believe it, it is too wonderful, he gives us the ability, the power to believe. He helps us to believe him. That is faith. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 through 8 say these words: for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God commends, God offers, God recommends his love toward us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 says, in whom, in Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. This tells us that being forgiven is something we can know now. We do not have to hope that maybe someday, if we try hard enough, we might have it. No, we have redemption now. What does redemption mean? It means to be bought back. Something which has become lost, and we were lost in our sins, has been bought back because someone else paid the price. God paid the price to bring us back to himself through the death and the blood of Jesus Christ. Please, if you have a Bible, read John's Gospel, chapter 18, chapter 19, and chapter 20. These chapters tell us so beautifully and clearly of the death, the shedding of the blood, and the resurrection of the Son of God. What a sacrifice. The result is that God now offers us new, eternal life through rebirth, through being born again. John's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 24. Truly, truly, for true, I say unto you, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death unto life. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Who is this new eternal life for? A few faithful martyrs? Those who live a very special type of life? No, everyone. Luke chapter 19, verse 10. For the Son of Man, Jesus, has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Have you ever been lost? I have been lost many times in Africa, especially in Lagos. Going from Yaba to Apapa to Surulere to Abutimeta to, oh my, Mushin. Many places in Lagos I have been lost. In southern Malawi, near Chantulo, I was riding in the back of a truck, a lorry, with my friends from the north of Malawi. We did not know how to find the people we were looking for, so we stopped under a large baobab tree to ask directions. Even the language was difficult because the people in that area are speaking Yao. The men who I was with were speaking Chichewa or Tumbuka. I spoke none of them, only English. We stopped beneath the tree. We prayed and asked God for directions, and we turned to one man to ask him directions. And he turned to us. He was the very man we were looking for. Far from his home, standing under that tree, God had put him there so that he could join us in the lorry and take us to his home for happy Christian fellowship together. A miracle of the grace of God. And God has sent his Son, Jesus Christ, not to stand under a baobab tree, but to hang on the tree. The Word of God tells us he bore our sins in his own body on the tree, the cross of Calvary. Jesus Christ is that man who will take us to our home in heaven. Praise God for that. This is the solution to man's sinful, lost condition. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. John chapter 6 and verse 37. Him that comes to me, I will never, never throw out. Sometimes we are rejected because we are the wrong tribe or speak the wrong language. I am a European. Therefore, it is easy to see in many parts of Africa that I do not belong there. So there is a barrier to being accepted totally because I do not speak Chichewa. I do not speak any of those languages, just a few words. But in heaven, some from every part of the world will be there. Those from all of the tribes of Africa, whether you are Chewa, Igbo, Yoruba, Hausa, Ibibio, Ga, Tswi, Ashanti, Fanti, Fulani, Urobo, Bini, Efik, Timbuka, any one of them at all, anyone. Your title, your right, is to have a place in heaven. Why? Because your own tribe is a special one? No, at all. But because Jesus Christ paid the price for you to be there. Listen to the words of God in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9. They sang a new song, "You, Jesus, are worthy to take the book and to open it, because you were slain, you were killed, and with your blood you purchased men for God." You paid the price for men to come to God from every tribe, every language, every people, every nation. You have made them to be a kingdom of priests to serve our God, and they will reign over the earth. There are 250 languages in Nigeria alone, another 250 dialects, making 500. I admire many, many Africans who speak 2, 3, 4 languages. I only speak one language, English, and a very, very few words of some few others. But there will be people from every language group, every tribe, every nation, whether it is Nigeria, Ghana, Malawi, Zimbabwe, Kenya, Chad, Niger, everyone. There will be people in the glory, in heaven, from those places, because Jesus has given us the solution, the remedy for our lost and sinful condition, And all we have to do is say, "Yes, Lord Jesus, I believe, I confess that I am a sinner. I accept you as my Savior. I know the power of your blood shed for me. I need you. I want you. I accept you. You are mine. I want to be part of God's family." And immediately, he says, "Yes, enter. You are my son. You are part of my family. I will take you to heaven. I promise." And when Jesus promises, he never, never, never breaks that promise. Never. Jesus says in Matthew 11, verse 28, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Look at the little picture in your book of a small Pekin struggling under a heavy burden, a heavy load on the head, too much for them. Jesus says, "You carry that load of sin, too much. I want to remove it from you." John chapter 3, verse 16, again, I quote you this verse, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Remember, God loves you. Remember, the Lord Jesus Christ died and gave his blood for you. Remember, all you have to do is admit that you are guilty. Ask the Lord Jesus to clean your sins with his precious blood. Trust him to fulfill his promise to save you. God's remedy only works if you accept it. If I visit a group of lepers and offer a special cure which will make them all better in one day, only the ones who believe it and take it will get better. The rest who refuse it will not, even though the cure is available to them all. Finally, remember, it is important to tell others when you have accepted the remedy that the Lord Jesus Christ has offered, Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You need to tell others, confess to your family, to your extended family, to your village, to your classmates, to everyone, that you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. In the next study, the next message, we will look at the question, can we be saved by doing good works or keeping the law? Please look at the questions at the end of this message and answer them for yourself before God. Again, may God bless you. He will, because he has promised to do so, if you will accept his solution to the problem of your sin. Amen. Thank you.